Major corporate funding for this NewsHour podcast is provided by Pacific Life and Chevron.
Finally tonight, a science unit story on new advances in brain-controlled prosthetics. Jeffrey Brown begins with some background.
It's a remarkable feat of monkey and machine. Researchers reported today that a pair of monkeys learned how to control a robotic arm and feed themselves by using only their brain power. Scientists in Pittsburgh reported in the journal Nature that they implanted tiny electrodes in the brains of this monkey and one other. As described in their paper, the electrodes were implanted in a part of the brain which controls movements. Signals from the brain were wired directly to a computer, which was attached to the robotic arm. The monkeys were able to control the robotic arm to bring them food, even as their arms were restrained. By operating directly on the brain, this monkey-think-monkey-do experiment goes further than early efforts to create similar technologies for human patients with spinal cord and other injuries. Other avenues of research that are not connected with brain surgery have already been tried with humans and new prosthetics. All are imperfect and in the experimental stages. Now scientists are looking at today's report to see whether they too can work directly on pathways to the brain.
And for more on this finding, we're joined by the study's senior author. Andrew Schwartz is professor of neurobiology at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. Well, let's step back, if you would, and explain a bit more about how this is done. Electrodes are implanted in a part of the brain that controls movement, and this is connected to a computer. Walk us through this a little bit.
Right. So it really has three components. The first are the microelectrodes. These are small electrodes about the size of a human hair. These pick up single impulses from cells in the brain, and we pick up enough of those that we can extract a signal that's processed by a computer. So these electrodes send their signals to a computer. The computer processes these signals and generates what we consider the monkey's intention to move. And that intention is then processed once again into a language that the robot can understand, and the robot then moves along with the animal's desire.
So do you have to train the monkeys to use the mechanical arm, and how long does that take?
Well, there's actually two phases to the training. First, we have to familiarize the monkey with the whole idea that there's an arm that it can control, and we do that with a joystick. So before we implant any electrodes, we just train the monkey to move the arm with a joystick so it learns about the arm. And then after it's familiar with that, we implant the electrodes, and we train the monkey in stages. What we do is first train the monkey to move the arm toward the target. Once it's at the target, we have to have it stabilize and then close the gripper and then bring it back. So there's really four stages to that.
But in essence, in the end, the monkey is thinking the movement. Is that a way to say it?
Right. So we believe it'd be analogous to moving your own arm. And one way to think about it is as if you were moving a mouse and generating movement on a computer screen with a cursor. So you move that mouse with your hand and you see the cursor move, and pretty soon you stop even thinking about your hand moving at all with the mouse and just look at the cursor.
And how much were the monkeys able to do, and what are the limits to their movement?
Well, right now they're able to reach out in space, grasp a small piece of food and bring it back to their mouth. And it's a pretty skilled, accurate movement. We think it takes about 2 millimeters of accuracy in order to grasp the food, and they do pretty well. So they can move the arm anywhere in the space in front of them and grasp the food. Now, what this device is missing is a wrist and hand and fingers. So it's actually pretty difficult to orient the gripper to pick up the food.
How do you define the key advance here beyond what researchers have been able to do so far?
Well, really, this is a step in a process that's been going on for a number of years now. And what this signifies is this is really the first time we've been able to use this kind of brain control with a physical device. Up to this point, the work has been almost exclusively done with displays that are on the computer screen. So this is the first time that the animal sat with the robot and worked with it directly.
So now the question is, how far off are you from applying this kind of work to people, and for what kind of injuries?
Well, there's already been preliminary work where a number of patients have been implanted with exactly the same kind of electrodes that we're using here in the monkeys. We think that in the next 2 years we'll be able to have human patients, a few human patients for research purposes, controlling the same type of device and probably doing much better than what these monkeys were able to do.
And the idea would be to manipulate the prosthetics?
Right. So this would be perhaps for amputees or for spinal cord injured patients or for patients with other types of paralysis.
What are the key hurdles before you can get to that?
Well, there are two things. If we want to add a wrist and fingers, we need to understand some more about how the brain encodes these movements. And then the other thing are there needs to be a number of technical improvements. So right now the electrodes, after a while, they've been implanted permanently in the brain. They become encapsulated with scar tissue, and our signal degrades. The other thing we would like to do is to miniaturize the whole set of pieces of equipment from the connectors, and we'd like to use transmitters to wirelessly send these signals out of the brain. The computers can be miniaturized to a single chip, and then even the prosthetic arm itself can be made much nicer.
You just raised something that I want to ask you more about. You raised the how much we know about how the brain encodes movement. How much do we know about that?
Well, so this is actually a demonstration showing about how much we know at this point. So because these signals are relatively straightforward for us to interpret, we can get this kind of movement. There are many other issues about brain activity that we don't understand. But this technology, because we can record many cells at the same time, are allowing us to consider the brain differently than we did before. We can now consider the brain as a complex system with many elements working simultaneously, and we can begin to understand how these neurons speak to each other.
I do want to ask you before we go about the monkeys themselves, because I think a lot of people will probably wonder, why use monkeys? Are they at any risk for harm in the kind of work you're doing?
Well, these monkeys are actually quite comfortable. We just restrain their arms by their sides to encourage them to use this device. And once again, the electrodes we're implanting are exactly the same type that are implanted in humans. And there are I really don't think there's any discomfort. The monkeys have to be comfortable in order to work.
And what happens next at your lab? What are you working on next with them?
Well, we're working really hard on trying to understand how the brain encodes finger movements and wrist movement, and then we aim to make a prosthetic device that has a very natural hand and wrist. And actually, from an engineering point of view, this is really complex because the hand as a machine is much more complex than the shoulder and elbow.
All right, Andrew Schwartz at the University of Pittsburgh, thank you very much.
Thank you.